I'm recording. Welcome to Moedon Ivri Hebrew Club. Thank you all for coming on this kind of chilly, dreary day, but Hebrew will brighten it up for us right now. 1 Samuel chapter 20, we are beginning at verse 28, and we're going to get as far as we can at that. It'd be great if we get through the whole chapter. I don't know if we will, but we'll do our best. I mean, the Hebrew is not exactly that hard. A lot of the stuff is familiar. As we come to the end of this chapter, you will see it follows the train of thought that we've been with. The situation between Saul, David, and Jonathan is going to come to its climax here. You can already anticipate where it's going. So we kind of know the storyline and are just waiting for to see what happens. And remember now, after this story, there is a unbridgeable gap between David and Saul, and so you really see the permanent rift between them, which has been coming and going in the previous chapters. So we're actually going to start with verse 28. We really take it up in the middle of the conversation that Jonathan was having with his father Saul over David's absence at the Chodesh, at the celebration for the new moon. The second day, the first day he was there, Saul didn't say anything. The second day he was there, Saul wanted to know from Jonathan what was happening. And remember now in the background, there was this previous agreement between David and Jonathan that when Saul asked, Jonathan was going to give him an answer, and depending on Saul's reaction, Jonathan would know what Saul's disposition was toward David. And David and Jonathan then would know what David had to do. And so here we come with verse 28. Vayan Yehonatan et Shaul, Nishol Nishal David me imadi ad beit lechem. And Jonathan answered, what's the root of Vayan? Anah, good. And Jonathan answered Saul. Notice you have a nishol, nishal. Again, that's a nifal, infinitive, absolute, followed by the nifal, perfect. So again, the absolute form exerts its force either to strengthen the affirmation, I think, of Jonathan, or to say something about the process of asking. So we could translate it like this. David kept asking, or David asked earnestly. See, I would translate that nishol as some kind of an adverb like that. And the subject is David. So David kept asking, or David asked earnestly, me imadi, from me. This is long for from me, from with me, whatever. We've seen that before. Notice the verb is left out. Ad beit lechem. It's literally, without the verb, to the house of bread, to Bethlehem. All right. And what Jonathan is saying is, David asked me earnestly to go to Bethlehem. All right. And the verb is just left out. And again, it's spoken language. The verb comes in actually in the next verse. All right, verse 29. Now, notice what Jonathan does. He gives Saul the overall situation. David asked me about Bethlehem, and now he details what he says. And we've seen this a lot in narrative. He doesn't go on to a new thought. Now he's filling in the gaps. Vayomer. So I would translate this Vayomer, for he said, or that is, he said. It's further explanation of the situation. Shalchenina. Ki zevach mishpacha lanu ba'ir. So he said, send me na, please send me, or probably please let me go, for the sacrifice of the family, zevach mishpacha, for the sacrifice of the family. The family sacrifice is, I would probably translate to us or upon us, but maybe more idiomatically, for it is our family sacrifice ba'ir in the city. Remember, we had a reference to this kind of practice way back in the first chapter, when Hannah and her family would go up year by year to offer a sacrifice. And so evidently there was this custom that the families would go up and offer sacrifices. So David says, you know, the family sacrifice is to us, it's our family sacrifice in the city. Vehudzivali achi, and he commanded me, namely my brother. right? And maybe, again, in better English, so my brother himself commanded me, and namely, you have to fill in, to get there, to be there. Okay? Vata, and so, im masati chen ba'eneka. So if I have found favor in your sight, imalta. Oh, what's the root of imalta?
Malat,
and what conjugation is it? Nifal. This one does not have a call. It has a nifal and also a piel. The piel form you're familiar with means to deliver. It's like the hifil from, it's a parallel with the hifil of Natsal, hatzil, to redeem, to deliver. Words like that. Here in the nifal, it means let me go. So, if I have found favor in your sight, let me go, please. Here's the na. Remember the particle of politeness. Notice David is being deferential, or Jonathan is reporting David's speech as being deferential. That's important because he wants to picture David as being humble, not demanding his own way, but making a polite request. See, so notice the na is used after shalcheni. See, it's not a demand, strong demand, but it's more of a please let me go. Okay? So please let me go, ve'era, so that I might see Echai, my brothers. Okay? Al Cain, therefore Lova, therefore he has not come to Shulchan Hamelech, therefore he has not come to the table of the king. Alright? Any questions through 29? Alright, good. Verse 30 then. Here it goes. Va'yicharav Sha'ul bi-honatan. Okay, yichar is from chara, to be hot or to be angry, and af is nose or face. So you normally translate, the face of Saul became hot against Yehonathan. So Saul became angry at Jonathan. Va'at. Now notice he kind of erupts here. It's kind of funny. Va'yomer lo ben na'avat hamar dut. Okay, let's look at this. It's very awkward. And he said to them, the son of a na'avat. Okay, the root here is ein vav hey. And it means to twist or to pervert. This, with the nun in front of it, you can guess, is a nifal participle in construct. So nifal participle, to be twisted. And it's here the substantive qualities of the participle come out. A twisted one, and notice it's feminine. A twisted woman. So the son of a twisted woman. Okay? Ha mardut, this is only used here. Marad means to rebel, and this is a noun, revolt or rebellion. So son, I don't know how to translate it, except very idiomatically, son of a perverse, of the perverse woman, of the rebellion. So a lot of translations say, son of a perverse, rebellious woman. All right. So notice he's downgrading Jonathan, of course, by talking about his mother. See, and we still do that today, by the way, insult the mother. So this, you know, it's basically son of a whore. Son, you know, we would say something like that. See, so son of a twisted, rebellious woman, all right? Halo yadati, do I not know, ki bocherata leven yishai. Do I not know, here notice the object clause with ki after a verb of perception. Do I not know that you have chosen, even though this is a participle, remember participles are unmarked as far as tense or aspect, so the context here directs us. Do I not know that you have chosen the son of Jesse? Leboshtika, to your shame. The noun here is boshet, to your shame, and to the boshet er vat im mecca, and to the shame of the nakedness of your mother. All right? So Saul is not happy, as you can see here. Alright, any questions about the grammar or anything that's going on? I mean, again, we're getting kind of these idioms. You can see how people insult each other and how father, when he wants to really shame his son, speaks to him in these days, in this day and age.
Could you take that?
Can you take that participle as a present progressive, like you are citing? Don't I know that you are citing?
Yes. Yes. You are choosing. Yeah. Don't I know that you are choosing? Right. That's possible as well. Don't I know that you are choosing Jesse to your, or the son of Jesse to your shame and to the shame of the nakedness of your mother? Yeah. That'd be just as good and maybe better. All right. Good. Any other questions? Verse 31. Ki kol hayamim asher ben yishai chai al harama lo tikonata umalkuteka. Okay. For all the days which the son of Jesse is living. Okay. For as long as the son of Jesse is living al harama, on the land, lo tikon. What's the root of tikon? Kun. Good. This is a nifal. Kun means to establish, to be established here. And notice the subject follows the pronoun you. So as long as the son of Jesse is alive on the land, not you will not be tikkun. You will not be secure. U malkuteka, or your kingdom. So notice you have a compound subject, singular verb. You neither you nor your kingdom will be secure. Okay. Vata, and so shalach v'chach. We probably say go and get him, but here it's I don't know. Send just doesn't fit here, unless he means send servants or something. V'chach and get him from lakach. Notice two imperatives. Oto, go and get and bring him to me. See, maybe notice kach is take or receive. Here we'd almost have to say, go and bring him to me, or send and bring him to me. Ki ben mavet hu, for a son of death is here. Here ben is used in idiom, in an idiomatic way, as ish and ben often are. So ben damim, son of blood, is a bloodthirsty man. And so here, son of death, dead man, for he's a dead man. Okay. Some translation, I think, say, for he's marked for death or something like that. That's too formal. I don't think Saul talks that way. Especially when he's mad. Alright. Any questions through 31? Alright, good. 32. See, notice the vocabulary is becoming very familiar through repetition of this chapter. Vayan Yehonatan et Shaul Aviv. Then Jonathan answered Saul, his father, Vayomer Elav, and said to him, Lama Yamut Me'asa. Okay, why you mot? Notice that root? It's from moot, to die. The hifil hemit means to kill. What's this form then? Not nifal, but it's close. Hafal, right? It's a hafal, to be killed. So, why should he be killed? Lama yumat. Why should he be killed? Pause. Me'asa. What has he done? Alright. Now Saul doesn't speak. Now here's what happened. Vayatel Shaul et hachanit alav lehakoto. Then Saul threw or hurled et hachanit. You know what that is, because Saul only throws one thing. And it's his javelin. He did it again. Yatel is from the root tool. It's a hipfiel, which means to hurl. I think it's the same one that God uses when in Jonah, you know, when he hurls a storm. So Saul flung the javelin at him, lehakoto, to smite him. Again, this is a hipfiel from naka, infinitive construct. Notice the infinitive is for purpose, in order to smite him. Pause. Notice you got a big otnok there. Vayeda Yehonatan. Then Jonathan knew ki kala hi me'im aviv. Then Jonathan knew, here's the object clause, knew that it, I would probably say, it was over with his father. Or it was determined by his father, lehamit, to kill David. Alright, so notice how the narrator puts it, kind of in very dramatic fashion, that he was finally convinced that there was no turning back for David. Alright. Questions through 33?
Saul was actually throwing the javelin at Jonathan?
Yeah. Actually hurled it at Jonathan. Right. Remember, he was willing to put Jonathan to death a while before when he said that oath about don't eat anything, and Jonathan had that honey. And it was only because his men intervened and said, no one's going to die today of this great victory, that Jonathan even made it this far. So notice there's a lot in the background between the relationship between Saul and Jonathan, what kind of men they both were, that we just see peaks of peering through the darkness, so to speak, so that he would do this to his own son a couple of times. Okay, verse 34. Va'yakom Yehonatan me'im ha'shulchan. Then Jonathan got up from the table. Bachari'af. Okay, this is the preposition bait, plus chari, which means anger. Raging, really. Af, of course, means face. With raging of face. Or with anger of face. So we would probably say in great rage. And this chari, this word always occurs with af. All right? And it's used, Moses, it refers to Moses once when he's in front of Pharaoh and Pharaoh says something. He goes away, bachari af. And it's used a number of times like this, with this same kind of construction. See, so Jonathan got up from the table in a great rage. Velo akal beyom hakodesh, hasheni. And he did not eat on the day of the new moon, hasheni, the second day. So he did not eat on the second day of the new moon, lechem, did not eat food. Ki netzav el David, for he was aggrieved. Atzav means to be grieving, and here's a nifal. He was grieved about David. Ki hiklimu aviv. For hiklim is a hipil from kalam, and kalam in the call means to be humiliated, so the hipil means to humiliate. And it's an interesting word to use here, see, but it makes sense. He was aggrieved about David. Indeed, his father had humiliated him, had shamed him, see. And it's a great summary of that previous conversation. It wasn't that his father had made him sad or anything. His father humiliated him. All right. Any questions about that? Verse 35. Vayehi baboker. So it happened in the morning. Now we can see what's going to happen here. Vayetze Yehonatan hasada lemoed David v'na'ar katon imo. So in the morning, notice you have the temporal clause here. Here's nice standard Hebrew for a change. Temporal clause, baboker, in the morning, vayetze Yehonatan, Jonathan went out, hasadeh, to the field, lemoed, for the meeting with David. Alright, for the appointed meeting with David, and na'ar katon, and a young servant was imo, was with him. Or maybe a young lad was with him. Vayomer, and he said, lena'aro, to the boy, roots, run, Metzana, please find et hachitzim, the arrows, asher anoki more, which I am going to shoot. More is from the, just a hifil participle from yara, to shoot. So, run, please find the arrows which I am about to shoot. Pause. Hana'arat, so the youth ran, vehu yara hachitzi leha'aviro, and he shot the arrow, hachitzi, so that, with the result that, ha'aviru ro, that is a hifil infinitive construct from avar. Avar means to cross over. And so here, so that he made it go beyond him. So that he made it go beyond him. In other words, while the kid was running, he shot the arrow, but shot it ahead of him. See? Alright. Verse 37, Vayavo Hanar. Then the lad came ad mekom, to the place, hachitzi, of the arrow, which Yara Yehonatan, which Jonathan had shot. Vayikra Yehonatan, and Jonathan called Achare, after the boy, Vayomer, and said, Halo hachitzi mimeka va ha'a. There's the magic words. Remember we saw them earlier? And he said, is not the arrow from you and out? Probably better English, is not the arrow beyond you? Okay. Any questions?
Yeah, what is low again?
Oh, how low indicates a question. Oh, is not, okay. Yeah. All right. It's obviously for David, rhetorical question. But for the boy, he took it as a real question. Verse 38, Vayikra Yehonatan, and Jonathan called Acharei Hanaar after the youth. Here's what he says. Mehera Husha. Quickly. Mehera. See, from Mahar to be quick. Husha. Hush means to make haste. Here's just a simple call imperative with a hey at the end, which we've seen a number of times. Quickly make haste. Al ta'amod. Do not stand. Okay. Va yelaket na'ar Yehonatan et hachitzi. So, servant of Jonathan, yelaket, gathered. Here we see this word usually with gather wheat or gather grain, but here the servant of Jonathan gathered et hachitzi, the arrow, vayavo, and he came to Adonai, to his master. Okay. Verse 39, vehanar. Yes, please.
About the haze on the end of the imperatives.
Yeah.
Did you say at one time that those hays sometimes reflect, you know, like personal interest or something?
Yeah, if the action directed towards or for the benefit of the speaker.
Okay.
So here the speaker is Jonathan, and he's telling him to act in haste, and what's marked is for me. In other words, he's supposed to do that action specifically for the benefit of Jonathan. All right. Again, notice how common these things are. We've seen them all the way through. So you almost begin to think, well, they're not that unusual. It's almost the normal way of talking. Especially when you have another imperative. Notice the next imperative is a negative one in the second person. This is not uncommon to see this kind of construction. Okay? All right, verse 39. Vehanar, now the youth, lo yada me'uma. Now the youth didn't know anything. Ach Yehonatan veDavid yadu et ha'davar. But Jonathan and David yadu knew et ha'davar. They knew the score. All right. Ha'davar is a nice all-purpose word as we've seen here. All right. Questions about verse 39?
Me'uma
is just a noun which means anything. So he did not know anything is literally anything. Verse 40. Vayitain Yehonatan et kelav el hana'ar asher lo. Then Jonathan gave his vessels, kelav, to his servant who was with him. Vayomer lo, and he said to him, Lake have ha'ir. From Halak, go, Havi, take, and now you have to understand the vessels, all right? Take these Ha'ir to the city. All right, and again, we've seen a lot where the context makes the object clear. You're not going to see it expressed in spoken language. It seems to be a very common stylistic feature. All right, so go, bring them to the city. Okay, Hana'ar, the youth went, Vadavid, and David came, me'etzel ha-negev. Remember we had this word, it's either, I'm going to translate this, from next to the south side. Negev is south. I mean, it's referring to the same place that was referred to earlier in the chapter. And so the best that you can almost do with it is something like that, probably meaning from the other side of the rock, so the boy never saw him. That's probably what it's trying to point out. Alright? Vayipol from Nafal, and he fell le'apav, on his face, artsa, to the ground. Vayishtachu, hishtafel from Chava, the only root, right? And he bowed down shalosh pe'amim. Shalosh is three, pe'amim is time. So bow down three times. Vayishku, and they kissed. What's the root of yishku? Good, very good. And they kissed each one at Re'ehu, each one his friend. So we would say they kissed each other. Vayivku from Baka, to weep, and they wept, each one with his friend. Okay? Now you have this rather awkward construction. Ad David Higdil. Higdil is the hifil of Gadal, to be great. The hifil is to make great or to do greatly. Until David did greatly. And it's usually understood David wept even more than Jonathan. And you'd think Jonathan would be weeping the most because, and he probably wept considerably because he, you know, the rupture with his father and his friend and everything. So I think it's, people seem to say that this is commenting on David being the one who was weeping even more than his than Jonathan. But again, it's hard to know exactly what's going on here. Okay, we got one more verse. Any questions? Yeah, verse 42. Vayomer Yehonatan le David. Then Jonathan said to David, Leik leshalom. Go. Now notice here, in peace. Go peacefully. Notice how you have a noun, and in this case you have the preposition lamed to make an adverb. See, to say something about the process of going. Go peacefully. Leshalom. Asher, here's a very unusual use of asher. Makes most sense to translate as causal. Because nishbanu, because we have sworn, shneinu, us two, anachnu, we. So, because the two of us have sworn, we. See, so he's really emphasizing that. Beshem Yahweh, in the name of Yahweh, saying, Yahweh, Yihyeh, will be beini, between me, uveinek, and between you, uvein zar, e, and between my seed, uvein zar, aka, and between your seed, ad olam, forever. All right? So, Jonathan kept his word and let David escape against the orders of his father Saul. It's very sad, isn't it, when you see the end of this narrative. And now everything kind of starts to really come unraveled. Any questions about this chapter or anything that we read? Well,
you said, you know, a lot of times they'll add a preposition to a noun to make it like an adverb. Is that true, like the insecurity one? They say that a lot in the Bible, like they dwelt in security. Is that
oh, betach.
Yeah,
sometimes, and sometimes it'll just be the noun. I mean, I don't see any reason grammatically why you just couldn't leave. If you didn't have the lama there, go shalom, you would translate it the same way. Go in peace. See? So sometimes you have the lama and sometimes you don't. And I don't know if it's, again, it could be just a dialectic feature or stylistic feature or maybe, I mean, sometimes you could even understand that later copyists who understand the language differently could add these things as they're updating the language. I mean, we're not even sure of that. You know, it depends on the history of this manuscript, too. So, you know, again, remember I said earlier, there's all kinds of ways that Hebrew forms adverbs. Sometimes they just use a noun, sometimes they'll add a preposition, sometimes they'll use the yom and then add the am ending, like chenam from chen, freely, or reek, rekam from vain to in vain. Sometimes they use the infinitive construct, harbe, greatly. Sometimes they'll use the yosif to do something again or do something continually. See, so there's a number of ways that Hebrew forms adverbs, whereas English is probably more restricted. Notice we translate those all with kind of a ly ending or a prepositional phrase, something like that. All right, good. We will start chapter 21. Tell your friends next week. Have a good